Amen. Luke chapter 2, if you have your Bible, Luke chapter 2. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes, Luke chapter 2, if you will, about how to assemble a Merry Christmas. Amen. 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 How to assemble a Merry Christmas. Y'all girls ready for a Merry Christmas? They look at me like, why are you talking to me? Luke chapter 2, look at verse 13, if you will, Luke chapter 2. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Amen. 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 You know, certain Christmases, because of circumstances, we remember better than others, and some because of where we live or what was going on. Where I grew up, most of my younger years was in an old farmhouse out in the middle of a cornfield. Well, wasn't 2 miles out of town. Don't get excited. I'm not really a country boy. I just sound that way. But a lot of those Christmases, I remember I turned about, I don't know, 10, 11, 12. I didn't have a daddy. Mama would sharpen a big butcher knife and hand it to me and say, go cut us down a cedar tree. And I'd wander through the woods out there, a little boy by myself, and I'd find us a tree, usually way too big, and I'd cut that thing down, bring it home. A lot of good memories in that. And I'm sure some of you have those too. Some because of what we received. Y'all kids don't know it, but when I was little, I was cool. I'm still cool, you just don't see it. And, I remember I got a 5-speed spider bike one time. Mama had to go in debt and buy that. I got a 5-speed. It had metallic flakes in it. It was purple. And them handlebars up there like that and a little stick shift down there on that thing. It took my brother and his friends 2 weeks to tear that thing up. And some Christmases we remember because of sicknesses or deaths or maybe poverty or whatever it might be. But everybody's got memories about Christmas. Now, we're approaching Christmas. And a lot of you right now, you're having memories of mama and home and, you know, food and trees and all these things. And all those are wonderful. Every Christmas different. It's different. Every Christmas is different. And it comes, I'd like to say, unassembled. We have to put it together. We put it together. A lot of people just live day to day, and whatever happens, happens. They don't plan. They don't put things together. And usually that turns out wrong. And we've had a few of those Christmases ourselves. Amen? But I'm glad that Christmases, just like toys, come with instructions. And we've got the instruction manual here in front of us. Amen. We don't have to wander around lost or don't know what to do. We've got a book here that tells us it's the infallible, inerrant word of God. Every word, and it's true. Every jot and tittle, every comma, every period is true. So we don't have to wonder about things. We've got the instruction manual. And so we have to just look at the instruction manual, and we'll have really a Merry Christmas. Now, you can't do it by watching other people. You hear me? You can't assemble toys by watching other people. I remember many a night I sat up with that Pope at midnight, hearing him over there talking in Latin while I'm getting mad, trying to put stuff together on Christmas night. And you can't do it by watching somebody else. You got to go by the manual. So I'm going to give you a little instruction on how to have a Merry Christmas from the manual. Okay? And now, first thing, you have to follow the instructions. And in every instruction manual, there is a main part. In every instruction manual. If you ever tried to read those things, only women can read them. Women must have wrote instruction manuals. And it says put part A to part B and then part C and part D. Well, part A is always your main part. If you had bicycles, you wouldn't start with the wheel. You start with the body. Amen? And Christmas is the same way. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and here's the main part, the babe lying in a manger. In order to have a good Christmas, and you're going to put one together, you cannot leave out the main part. Y'all listen to me. Look up here, I'm preaching. Listen, you got to have Jesus or you won't have Christmas. You take Christ out of it, and it is Xmas. By the way, I don't like to say that Xmas stuff. And I don't say happy holidays. I say Merry Christmas. Keep Christ in it. Amen. The true Christmas provides joy that you cannot find anywhere outside of Jesus Christ. Y'all look up here, young people. It ain't about a fat man with a beard. Amen. And I know parents get mad at me. We never did teach our children that. It's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. That's like getting a box as a bicycle and you go put it together and the only thing you got is wheels and handlebars. If you don't have the body, it's no good. And Christmas is the same way. You can have the presents and you can have the tree and you can have the lights and you can have the songs. But if Jesus is not in the middle of that, it is not Christmas. And you don't do all these other things and then just slip him in. You put him first. He's the main body of the celebration of Christmas. And so, number one, you need to remember that. It's only found in that lowly stable. That's the main part. You got the shepherd, you got the wise men, you got the star. Now they done included a little drummer boy, and they put little cows and sheep and all this stuff. And they don't talk about the main part, which is Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Without the baby in the manger, you've got no Christmas. Many years growing up, we celebrated without Jesus. We didn't know him. We didn't know him. Oh, don't get me wrong. We had some kind of little thing to represent, maybe a picture or something, you know. But we didn't talk about Jesus. We had the food. We had the family. We had the trees. We had the presents. But nobody ever mentioned Jesus Christ, and that's what it was all about. For years. I was 21 years old before I ever heard the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ, that God so loved me, he sent his only begotten son to be born in a manger, live a sinless life, die in my place, and rise again the third day to prove that God had accepted the sacrifice. I was 21 years old before I ever heard a clear story on that. And we've got people all over this country, maybe some in this room today. And Jesus will not be in your Christmas, and you can't have Christmas without a Christ. Number two. Listen, if it doesn't begin with that baby, it's not going to work. Number two, look at Luke 2:17. Look at verse 17. And when he had seen it, they made known abroad, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Now, if a lot of people hate Christmas. They hate Christmas because of loneliness. Maybe a spouse passed away. Maybe their parents passed away. Maybe the only friend they had passed away. And a lot of people don't like Christmas because it's a lonely time when you don't have somebody to celebrate it with you. And there's people all over this country celebrating it, trying to, by themselves. And they don't like that. It doesn't feel good. In order to put a good Christmas together, you're going to have to get someone else to help you celebrate it. Yeah. And listen, when they left down there, they didn't go home and light up a tree. They went and they told people, it said verse 17, they made it known abroad, saying that, which was told them concerning the child. They had a great time and they enjoyed what they saw, but they wanted to tell others about what they saw. Now let me ask you something. How can we know the Christ of Christmas and not share that with other people? I mean, if this is really the time that we celebrate the birth of Christ, why would we not want to share that with others and help them to see what Christ is all about? Many Christmases some of us, all we knew was drunken parties and fights and fusses and cusses. And then God saved us. Let me tell you something. When He saves you and you put Jesus in that Christmas, it'll change everything. It'll go from darkness to light. It'll go from envy to happy. Amen. You will love to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ if you're a Christian. These shepherds did it. Immediately, they went and told others. I had somebody tell me this week. They said, well, I'm a Christian. No, that ain't the way they said it. They said, I believe in the Lord, but I don't do church. Now, I try to be nice to people. I'm getting old. It's getting harder. I try to be nice to people. Overlook ignorance, okay? Ignorance can't help it. And I didn't say what I thought. I just kind of smiled and grinned. Y'all with me? You don't always say what you think. But I thought this. If you know Him, you love church. Amen. I mean, I read it in the wedding yesterday. Jesus died for the church. Yes. The local church is His body. Now, I'm not talking about that mysterious thing floating around out there today that all those claim to be part of church. They're down the river fishing or over here shopping. I'm talking about people that belong to Jesus Christ, love His church. Amen. He died for His church.
Yes. Yes. Come on,
brother. That's like saying, and people will say, I love Christmas. But Jesus is not in their Christmas. And then others say, well, I love Jesus, but they don't share it.
Come on now. Yeah.
Marstonfield, 1978, about 12:15 at Eastside Baptist Church, North Jones Avenue, 6 pew on the left-hand side. I wish I could have got that pew before they got rid of those pews. And the Holy Ghost of God drew me one more time, and I felt like it was the last time. Excuse me. And I walked down that aisle, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was born again, and the first thing I wanted to do was tell somebody.
Amen. Yes.
I didn't know how to tell anybody. I didn't know any scripture. I didn't even know a hymn. I knew Amazing Grace because they made it a pop song when I was a teenager, and they played on every rock radio station. But I didn't know anything. But I wanted to tell people. So if you're going to have a good Christmas, you're going to have to enjoy it with other people. Did you know the more people that we get saved, the more we will enjoy our own Christian life? Hello. That's the truth. Thank you, Ed. We don't have any ushers. We got Ed. When I was born again, I wanted to share it. Now, how can I have a Christmas and not share? Now, that's why we do things like we send those boxes, you know, those Christmas child boxes. We do that. We're trying to share Christmas with people that know nothing about Christ. Nothing. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
Gotten awful quiet in there. I thought we went from Church of God to Presbyterian there for a minute. And then if you have a good Christmas, you gotta take time to think about what you're doing. Look at verse 18. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now if you're gonna have a good Christmas, you're gonna have to follow the instructions. You're gonna have to get other people to help you celebrate it. And then you have to take time to think it through. Now, commercialism has ruined Christmas. I said this morning in Sunday school, most generations do not think past or before their own generation. See, you think that there's always been a man in a red suit and a big old beard, and he's always had a sleigh and had deers, and one of them had a red nose. You think, but did you know Coca-Cola Bottling Company created that Christmas? In the 1940s, they made a commercial about Santa Claus. Now, people's always heard of a man named Saint Nick. He was a Catholic, old guy. It's probably true. Over in Europe, he did go around and leave cookies and stuff for poor people and things like that. He never would have wanted you to think of him as this Santa Claus we have today. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
You ain't mad at me, are you?
No. Preach on, brother.
Now, in 1940s, the Coca-Cola Bottling Company came out with this. I know I'm not supposed to say fat, but I don't know any other way to describe it. This fat man holding a Coca-Cola and smiling, and he had a red suit, and we began to identify Christmas with Santa Claus.
Yes.
And it's gone downhill ever since. And now it's to the point where you don't want to be at the mall the last 3 days before Christmas because you might lose your life. That's how far it's gone. It's gone from, oh, how I love Jesus to, oh, how I love Walmart. Amen. So if you're going to put your Christmas together right, you got to have the instruction manual. You need people to help you celebrate it. But you need time to think it through. Take time like these shepherds did to wonder about it. Meditate on it. Follow those instructions that God gave you. How to know Jesus the Savior was born. And how to know He lived a sinless life that you can't live. And how to know He died in your place to pay for your sins. And how to know that He rose from the grave the third day to prove that God had accepted the sacrifice. You've got this. Hey, the faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You got to have the book, okay? If you don't, you'll fall for anything. Because people don't take time to think it through, they pollute Christmas.
Yes.
Come on, man.
I know. I'm not supposed to say stuff like this. But a Christian, supposed to be a Christian holy day, has been taken over and made a holiday.
Yes.
If you're going to have a good Christmas, you're going to have to think it through. I remember the first Christmas I had been saved, I saved in 78, and that winter, that was my first Christmas. Amen. And I sat there and I thought that thing through that day. And I read the scriptures. And my kids were real little. The best we could, we shared with them the scriptures. And I told him, I said, it's not about this tree. It's not about these lights. It's not about these gifts. And there wasn't a whole lot of gifts there, by the way. And it wasn't about these gifts. It's about Him.
Amen.
Yes.
It's about Christ.
Yes.
And boy, hey, I'd read the Christmas story and cry. He had given me a new heart. That was my gift.
Yes, sir. Yes.
He'd given me a new mind. I didn't even think like I used to. That was my gift. He'd give me a new tongue. I didn't even talk like I used to before I got saved. Amen. He gave me a whole new life. I had eternal life. I was going to live long as God lived. Boy, what a gift. What a gift. Think about that stuff. And then think about this. Luke chapter 2 verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary kept all these things. Now, here's what I found out. I have three daughters and we bought Christmas presents. I found this out. Don't throw anything away. Come on, daddies. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't throw anything away. Because just as sure as you throw that stuff away, there's going to be a missing part, and you're going to be out there in the trash trying to find it.
Yeah.
Amen. I've done it. You ever done that? You ain't never done that? You will. Every father in here has done that. She kept these things. Look, when I look at Christmas, you know what I keep in my heart? It's about Him. It's about His birth. It's not about me.
That's right.
And by the way, after you get married and start having kids, you'll find out it ain't about you.
Come on, bro.
You'll get sobs. They'll give you underwear. Ain't that a wonderful Christmas gift? They're going to give me some underwear. They might give you a tie, but most times they do, it's too short. I mean, you'll find out Christmas, it's not about you with kids, it's about them. Amen. But we need to keep the idea and the thoughts and the Word of God and the instruction manual that it's about Him. He is what we don't throw away.
Amen.
Because later on, you're going to need Him.
Amen.
You're going to need Him later on.
Yes.
I remember my mama didn't have a daddy, and my mama tried her best, and she bought me a little gasoline-powered airplane. I guess I was about 12 or 13. Y'all remember those?
Yes.
That's what rich people had. You know, us poor people, we made paper airplanes.
Yes.
Or we bought that 10-cent wooden thing you put together.
Yes.
But she bought me a gas-powered airplane. Had a little battery with it. Battery was bigger than the plane. Had a little motor, a gas-powered motor, about big as a, I don't know, a salt shaker on it. And it had a string on it so you wouldn't lose it when it took off. You just go round and round. It remote control. What are you laughing at? You do yours on the internet. Amen. But guess what? I never got to do that. You know why? We didn't read the instructions. It was about Christmas Day that year. It was in the 20s. And we got out there in the yard trying to crank that thing. And I don't know if y'all know it or not. I didn't know it. But those little gas powered motors won't crank when it's cold. And we sit out there and try and try and try and run that battery down and try and try and try. A couple of days later, she went and swapped it for a super duper gift down at Sears, a tape recorder. It was about that big, and it had a reel over here and a reel over here, and you could turn it on, hold the microphone out, and record stuff, reel to reel. It had 4D batteries in it. You could record 2 songs off the radio, and they were dead as a doornail by then. And I was the first one to walk down my street doing this. I'm telling you, don't throw anything away. Keep everything. You throw those instructions away, you'll be looking for something else. And you better keep the receipt.
Amen.
You better keep the receipt. If we hadn't had that receipt, I wouldn't have my primitive boombox. It's the same way with Jesus Christ. You get saved, you invite Him into your heart, you receive Him as the gift of God from heaven, and you keep your receipt. There's my receipt. Somebody says, well, you don't look too saved. I said, maybe I don't, but I got a receipt that says it's paid for. Somebody says, well, preacher, I tell you what, how do you know you're saved? I say, because it's written.
Amen.
It is written, amen. And this is the record, he says, that God has given us eternal life. And His life is in His Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There's my receipt.
Amen,
amen. I got that 5-speed spider bike. In a few weeks they had it tore up. It looked awful, but I could always tell you it was a 5-speed spider bike because Mama had the receipt. That was the only way to recognize it by the time my brother got through with it. We had a receipt to prove my Mama bought me a bike. Amen?
Amen.
And some of you need to get your receipt.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need to, hey, invite Jesus Christ into your Christmas by being born again.
Amen.
And then, hey, then you can always walk around. I carry my receipt everywhere I go. I got a little one goes in my pocket right there. I got a big one I read out of and preach out of. I got one I write in. I got receipts. I know I'm saved because He said so.
Yes.
And He'll be in my Christmas. Well, how you know, preacher? Hey, man, I got a receipt. Don't throw anything away. Get your instructions. Follow those instructions. Get somebody else to help you. Take time to think it through. And don't throw anything away. Never, never, never.
Amen.
Thy word have I hid in my heart,
yes,
that I might not sin against thee.
Amen.
Forever it's settled in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Now, last Verse 20. Look at verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now, look, a Merry Christmas might begin in December, but it ought to go all the way through the year. Now, look, don't stop until the job's done. Now, how would your kids feel if you went in there and... I'm sorry, am I ruining Christmas for some of your kids sitting in here? They didn't know you put those presents together.
That's the truth.
Listen, how would your kids feel if you rolled a one of these new BMX bikes in there without a wheel? And you say, well, I just didn't see like that was necessary. Hey, what if you got a tape recorder and no tape? You say, well, I didn't think that was important. Hey, you better follow this thing through. I'd hate to wake up on my last Christmas in hell. Amen. Amen. You better not stop. A Merry Christmas might begin in December. But if I tell you something about these women, the day after Christmas, they start having sales. That's right. The after Christmas sale is more dangerous than the day before Christmas sale. You ain't got to worry about terrorists. We got women shopping.
Come on,
amen. Those shepherds returned to their responsibilities. They went back to their job, back to their work with a different attitude. They had different thoughts, they had different feelings. Everything was different. They had been born again. They'd been born again. Now, you don't just join the church. You get born again, then you join the church.
Come on now.
So you're putting the cart before the horse if anybody's getting the cart and the horse for Christmas. Look. You get born again. You know what born again is? I'm going to make it simple as I can so that all of us can understand. A, I admit I'm a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. You'll never live up to what you have to be to go to heaven. You'll never do it. All we like sheep have gone astray. Yeah. There's none that seeketh after God, no, not one. And then B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, we believe in Christ that he was born. Amen? Come on. We believe in Christ that he lived. Amen? Amen. Amen. We believe in Christ that he died. Amen? But you know, James says you believe in God, so what? The devils believe and they tremble. We don't just believe in him, we believe on him. We have put our eternal destiny on him. If I die and go to hell, they'll have air conditioning. I put it all on him. That day I got saved, I knew I wasn't worth being saved. I knew I couldn't live like I was saved. I knew I was never be worthy of being saved. I knew if anybody ought to go to hell, I ought to go to hell. But I put all my hope on him that day, and every bit of it's been on him since then, and it'll be on him the day that I cross over to the other side. I got born again. I always believed in Jesus. I believed there was a man Jesus. I celebrated Christmas. I believed there was a man that lived by that name. I believed there was a man that died on the cross by that name. I believed they said he resurrected. I didn't know what that meant. But then I didn't get born again until that day I believed on Jesus Christ. If thou shalt believe in thine heart on the Lord Jesus Christ down here. See, a lot of people need to move their Christmas from up here to down here.
Come on now, yeah.
It's about an 18-inch conversion. That's all it takes. It only takes one prayer.
Thank you, Lord.
One step. That's all it takes. And so we can't just stop at saying, well, I believe Jesus was born on Christmas, so I must be a Christian. No, sir. Jesus said himself, ye must be born again. Now, once you get born again, he says, I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I'm going to live long as God lives.
Amen.
God would have to die before I die. Because, see, I put it on him. Now he changed my life. He gave me a new name, a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit, a new tongue. He made all things new. He made me a new creature. But I'm not depending on what I do. I'm depending on what he's done.
Yes.
The finished work of Jesus Christ is my Christmas present. And just as much as if you leave that wheel off that bicycle, it ain't a good present. And just as much if you leave something off of something else, it's not going to be a good present. If you leave Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior out of Christmas, you are not going to have a good Christmas.
Come on,
man.
Yeah.
The day after Christmas, or what? Well, Christmas be on Wednesday. People go back to work, and they're going to brag on how great a Christmas they had. You know what some of them's going to say? Boy, we had a time. I said, what'd you do? They said, I don't remember. I drank so much, I can't remember what I did. I said, well, that sounds real good, don't it? And some of them's going to say, I snorted up so much, it blew my brain. I laid in there in the bathroom floor for 8 hours before I woke up. And I said, man, what a Merry Christmas. I said, of all men, you are the most miserable. Amen. Isaiah said the way of the transgressor is hard. I used to be on the other side. I know it's hard over there. You can't lie to us. We've already been there. We know. We've been born again. We know what Christmas is really about. Follow the instructions. Find somebody else to celebrate. Take time to think about it. Don't throw anything away. Don't stop till it's done. My Christmas ain't over until that day I go. And then I get to go be with my Christ. Amen, amen. Hey, listen. Fear is something that God doesn't give us. He gives us peace. He gives us a sound mind. But he doesn't give us fear. When you got saved, the fear of death left. Now, don't get me wrong. I fear pain. I don't want to die in a car wreck. Now, I had one sister. She passed away at 22 years old with heart failure. And I've had, you know, 8 brothers and sisters pass away, and some of them were in their 50s, and some was in their 60s, and the last one was in his 70s. But my mama passed at 99 and a half years old. And listen, my mama didn't fear death. I read in the paper one day, I said, Mama, here's a woman in the obituary lived 105 years. I said, Mama, wouldn't you like to live 105 years? She said, Lord, no. Just like that. She said, I'm tired. She said, everybody I know is on the other side. I'm ready to go. Now, I've seen all kind of people die. All kind of ways. I've seen people die. And I've seen some terrible deathbed experiences. But you know, if you ever get Christ right in your heart and your mind, you won't fear death anymore. Now, don't get me wrong. Pain's a terrible thing. None of us like that. But you know, my mama didn't stay sick but a couple of days. And she wasn't real sick then. Her body just started shutting down. And she went to sleep. Would you like to go like that? You don't want to go at all, I And I wouldn't either if I was 12 years old or 13. But my Christmas, my real Christmas, look, it won't end until we get to glory.
That's right.
Why do we have to take one day a year to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
Let me go ahead and warn you. Every Sunday here, we celebrate his birth. Every Sunday here, we celebrate his life. Every Sunday here, we celebrate his death. Every Sunday here is Easter. We celebrate his resurrection. And every Sunday here, we celebrate his second coming.
Yes, amen.
I thank God the world's going to stop for a few minutes, and they claim to recognize what we believe. Most do not. Most don't even understand it. And you won't understand it yourself until you're born again.
Right.
So the question is, are you ready for Christmas? How's your Christmas being assembled? What's involved in putting your Christmas together? And how's that going to turn out? A lot of people celebrate Christmas and not say, I wouldn't. I was telling Sunday school this morning on Monday nights, we're about to start in the Bible Institute on Monday nights. You ought to come. We're going to start, we're going to go all the way through the book of Revelation. It's going to take about 39 weeks. We'll do it verse by verse. 1 hour, Monday night, every Monday night. We're going to go into a lot of detail. Did you know one of the details of Christmas is that during the tribulation, of Revelation, did you know that one of the things in the book of Revelation is the tribulation period where God pours out his wrath on the unbelieving herd? Yes. That God sends two prophets to preach.
Yes.
I think it's Elijah and Enoch because neither one of them ever died. And they're going to preach on the streets of Jerusalem. And they're going to preach repentance.
Yes.
Turn or burn, just like John the Baptist preached. And the world's going to kill them. Like they're doing Christians today.
Yes.
The world's going to kill us. You ever notice we're the only religion that people hate?
Yes.
And then after they're dead 3 days and three nights, God's going to raise them up. And did you know while they're dead for 3 days and three nights, the book of Revelation says that the world is going to celebrate by exchanging gifts? You think maybe it just might happen around a Christmas time?
Yes. Yes.
Because Christ ain't in their Christmas anyway. They'll go ahead and have their Christmas while those three saints lay there on the streets of Jerusalem dead. And they'll celebrate Christmas. And they don't even know Christ. Do you know Christ? The most important gift you'll ever receive is for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Don't feel so sorry for poor people that are Christians because they don't have all those gifts. A lot of them have the greatest gift that's ever given. Let's stand, Father.